Save big money now on new siding from LP Smart Side at Menards. Update and beautify your home with your choice of 13 timeless colors of pre-finished engineered siding. It's durable and includes a Sherwin-Williams factory finish paint warranty that means no painting for years to come. View our entire selection of siding from LP Smart Side today. And don't forget to check out our flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at
Menards. The John Schneider Show on Wyman and Bob every Thursday until draft day with Seahawks President of Football Operations, John Schneider.
We eagerly await the arrival of Seahawks President of Football Operations and General Manager John Schneider. He actually did hear his open last week, I think.
Oh, good.
I think he got here in time to hear it for the first time.
So it's me, basically.
Yeah, I think he just is delaying it. Like, how much Wyman can I take? Yeah. All right, let's show up late, then we'll leave before they wrap. And
I'm just afraid one of these times he's going to trip over all the wires coming through here. So
he did once, didn't he?
Banged up.
Didn't we hear?
That was me, Bob.
Well, I know
I was
you
the
have.
One that tripped.
Yeah, I know that. I know that will always be true.
Yes.
But I thought I heard, like, I think you and I don't know if it was when we were at the Mariners game or where, opening day, and he tripped over wires and yanked something out. Somebody said, like, he pulled the headphone jack completely off the table. I don't know. But he'll be here momentarily, and people have texted in a few questions, a couple of good questions for John.
Yeah.
866-979-3776, powered by Mac and Jack's Brewing Company. So we get him in here, get him set up and ready to go. Once again, missed his open, but he's here. He's heard it, so he knows he gets.
I heard it last week.
You heard it last week. Yeah. You get brought in with great fanfare, as you should. Good to see you, man.
Yeah. How are we doing?
We're good.
We're good. Good. How's it going? How was the vacation?
Oh, it was just fine.
Yeah.
Thanks.
You're 60th, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
cool. Thanks for bringing that up.
Yeah.
We were calling it the 20th anniversary of my 40th birthday.
I said, yeah, I said he turned 40 for the 20th time.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Well, how I was saying to Dave, I feel like as each day ticks off the calendar and we get a day closer to the draft, that maybe your sleep deprivation grows each day. Does it change? Is there more phone calls, more work, and more anxiousness as it gets closer? How does it go for you?
Well, it's pretty much the same. We have the scouts here right now, so we'll be going into the evening with those guys. We had our local visit today, our local workout. Eric Metcalf was there. It's pretty cool.
Who?
Eric Metcalf, his son.
Kidding.
Yeah, we worked out his son. Did you play against Eric Metcalf?
Yeah, I did.
Was he awesome?
I missed him in a hole that was about as wide as a doorway.
Yeah.
Yeah, he juked me.
What was it like? What was it like playing against him?
Oh, man, he was unbelievable. I have a picture of me actually grabbing his face mask and pulling his head off. It was a penalty. Showed it to DK, and he's like, man, that's a penalty. What's wrong with you?
But how about I interview you?
Yeah.
You just went, full Farley there. Yeah. Was it awesome?
No.
Well, he's also doing the stepbrother.
He's my, we interview you?
Yeah. Let's stop this right now.
No, he was like a total, like Barry Sanders and Eric Metcalf. Like,
yeah. Yes.
I had to dress like Eric Metcalf, like two towels down the side, high hookup, same face mask.
Because you were a running back.
And a punt returner,
I don't think
I wasn't playing at quite the same level he was.
You think you had the same speed?
No.
I don't think I would have.
I can also
you.
Say I was a long jumper, too, but he was the national championship.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was
it? Oh, national champion.
Right.
Yeah, long jumper.
But who are the guys that are coming in? You said local. It's like a local combine,
yeah,
right?
Washington State, Oregon State, and then anybody that's within the metropolitan area.
What about high school? If a guy goes to another place on the East Coast, he's a high school from here.
Yeah. Their residence is here. Yeah. They grew up here.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. We can bring those guys in. So I think we had 30, 35 guys there today. So it's fun. It's, it's a wide variety of guys, some draftable guys, some guys that, we'll be trying to sign as rookie free agents. And then some guys we'll just be inviting to the workout camp and, just telling them to be ready too. You never know. More of attrition, right? So
yeah. How often do the guys from the local combine end up on your team over the past few years? Has that been something that's been valuable to you?
Yeah, definitely. Probably Jermaine's probably the biggest one we've had.
Yeah.
Jermaine Kearse, yeah. He came. Jake Locker came and threw for us, so that was pretty cool.
Yeah,
I was telling Mike, we were just out there, invited Jake, and we were like, hey, you got a cool class of guys, and why don't you kind of come out and just spend the day with us. It's a fun deal. Like, the staff, the personnel staff and the coaches have a blast with it. And, And all of a sudden Jake was over there like throwing, and we're like, holy cow, he's gonna throw for us here. This is gonna be great.
John's over there going, this is cool.
Yeah, this is cool. Yeah.
Are you done with your? You talked about the 30 visits you get. Does that? Do you have a deadline that has to be done by?
Yep. And we have to be done by next Thursday. So we'll be done. We'll have the rest of the guys in. We've had guys kind of trickle in, and then we had a big night on Tuesday night. Yep. We're bringing the guys down to the stadium, sit down and have a meal with them while they're doing their physicals and interview them and have great interaction. Then come back over here. Interact with the staff the next day. So the next day we actually started going through the board again with the with our area guys. So it's great to have those guys back in the room and just kind of start fresh and hear how they feel about the spring and what that looked like for the guys in their area. And then everybody has more information, and everybody in the room has been able to study these guys more as well. And so we just kind of keep bringing in the information, and then our next step is we'll be bringing the coaches in. They've been getting caught up on their evaluations as well and doing their Zoom interviews with the guys. So, it all just kind of like funnels together, and, we'll be ready to go in 2 weeks.
It's amazing every time we talk to you.
Yeah.
From today. Right. Are you guys done?
Yeah, we're done.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, you weren't here last week, so we didn't know.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Here we go. You were on time. Just to punish me,
really?
Apparently. I can't take a vacation.
Sorry.
What goes into everything? Like, how much time you spend on all these players? I got to imagine that, number one, you feel like you get to know these guys, and then, you're only going to get to select, 8 or 10 of them every year. But also, do you kind of keep track? So, like, when you do free agent and pickups and stuff, like, you're like, hey, this is cool because I know something about this guy already.
Yeah,
we did all the work and everything, right?
Great point. I had a young man in my office yesterday. We were talking about, I hope we're able to draft you. If we don't draft you in 4 or 5 years, maybe you'll be looking at us and remembering what your experience was like at the Seahawks. And that has happened to us in free agency in the past where, we've brought guys in, they've had a great visit here. They've experienced the building, they've experienced the atmosphere. And they loved it, and they're excited to come back.
Yeah.
In free agency, so that's a really good point. The other thing is the players are all in the building this week. So now we have all the players back, so there's an excitement, like seeing all the guys again and then seeing the new guys and the mixture and all the coaches getting to know all these guys now too. So like walking around the halls and seeing all these, it's fun.
Well, a couple of the names we heard that you've spoken to at this point were a couple of quarterbacks, which I think people were kind of going, okay, well, they brought in Sam Howell, but we heard that Bo Nix and Spencer Rattler, you may have had conversations with them.
Yeah.
Is that, when you're doing these conversations, I assume it's, all right, in case this guy's sitting here at this point, we want to know about him. Is it due diligence, or how do you view those things?
Yeah, no, we don't study quarterbacks. We just because we've only drafted two, I get it.
Yeah.
We want to get to know these guys a little bit better and spend time with them. And Spencer's a real impressive guy, and so is Bo. And we just wanted to be able to spend a little bit more time with those guys, have the coaches be able to spend more time with them on the board. You want to, be cautious of their time as well. They're out here on West Coast visits, so try to set those up when they're, visiting the Rams, the Chargers, the Niners, and try to fit those in. We're not going to – we love Sam. We love what we did, being able to acquire Sam. We talked about the age. He's got the experience, but that doesn't preclude us from what we do in the draft.
Hey, I warned you that this might be a long answer question here, but like we were doing a little breakdown of linebackers, and so I was just kind of going through like how I do it. I look at his stats, and I look at his health, and I look at the combine numbers, and then I look at his film. And usually it's like highlight film, but then there's always lots of things I don't like. But how do you approach like every little thing like that? Like what's the process? Like let's just say for linebackers, like what are some of the things that you're looking for that are in particular, and how do you kind of grade these guys based on who they're playing against and things like that? Like take us through kind of what you're looking for.
Everybody does it differently, Dave, and there's different stages of the year to do it in as well. So, I would say if you're talking about college guys, you know, it's during the fall. And in that process, I kind of do more of the old school deal where, you know, I study the whole, like, defense. You have a list of guys on defense, and you just go game to game. And so you're going, okay, corner, you're doing both the corners. You're doing a linebacker and a defensive tackle and an end or something, right?
And these are all names that your scouts gave you, right?
Of these these are prospects. These are guys that are, you know, with national. We belong to the National Scouting Combine. And so, you know, it's we get that list, and then our scouts have a list as well. So the more people we have to study, the merrier, right? So in linebackers in particular, you know, I was really blessed to be around Ted Thompson, who played a long time, and John Dorsey, and those guys really helped me, you know, with the position in terms of eyes, feet, flexibility, take on ability, hands, you know, stack and shed, like all that. So for me, it's really been a process of just like early on of studying, like kind of creating a library of the different types of linebackers. If it, you know, it's a undersized Will that can run, or a heavy Mike that can, you know, or I don't know if you guys call them Teds or whatever you call them, but like the guy that can, like LeVon Kirkland's that can come downhill and take on guards and stuff, yeah, like yourself. So just the uniqueness of it, but you know, yeah, there's obviously eyes, instincts, feet, flexibility, lateral movement. Notice I said flexibility.
Yeah.
You're thinking
I said it twice.
Hold on now. You're not
that was
judging,
very subtle. That was
you're not judging me now.
No.
This is the earlier version. Which I told Bob, I go, I know that John would not have drafted me because of my injury history.
Durability's
I wouldn't have drafted me.
Well, the durability thing and the style of play too, so your style of play was didn't really help you in terms of like the physicality, right? So
Dave's got a very serious look on his face.
I know, he's looking at me like he wants to kick my...
What are you saying?
Yeah, what are you saying? but I would say your eyes, your instincts, the take-on ability, all that was like hand, like people, you knew how to play.
Yeah.
Right? It was just a different style. And guys like that, they don't really exist anymore.
Yeah.
They're very, very rare, and they're taught to play differently now. So, you know, Donnie Edwards was the guy that Marty Schottenheimer really coached me up on to play Mike. That was all of a sudden, he was really, if you remember, he was kind of like the first, like, really instinctive, like, non-take-on.
Finesse.
Where he could bend and get under blocks and, like, play that way. And then all of a sudden, you saw more and more guys like that, you know, that could run and had the coverage ability and could get their head around and, you know, feel the crossers behind him and everything. So
Donnie Edwards had like 30 interceptions in his career. Ridiculous.
He was amazing.
Yeah. Just a playmaker.
Probably one of the more underrated linebackers. Yeah. I mean, I don't understand why. Anyway.
Yeah.
But no, it's different for everybody. But then now, for college, the college stuff now, we can get to a point where we can say, okay, you know, they can pull all the point of attack plays for us, right? So they can say, every time this guy's, you know, coming downhill and taking on an offensive lineman, we can, you can do zone coverage, you can do man coverage, you can like.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
that's going to save you so much time.
Oh,
right?
Totally. Yeah, I was talking to Ron Wolf like last year, 2 years ago, and he was asking me what was going on, and you know, we were just getting caught up, and it was a Saturday morning, and I was in there by myself, and I was like, well, I'm studying corners, and I'm like, check this out, Ron, I'm actually going to watch this guy. I'm going to pull this cut up, and it's going to be all the deep balls, like, thrown at this guy. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to start right now. And I, like, hit the thing. I hit the, you know, the return or the mouse or whatever, right? And the thing's like, it takes, like, you know, 8 seconds to, like, ramp up. And here's, like, 36, 38 plays of every deep ball thrown at the guy.
Wow.
And I'm like, you know, I would sit there, like, in 92 or 93 for all those guys and, like, literally make beta tapes, like, you know, okay, go through every game and like find all the deep balls, so you could say like here's a
pause,
beta tape, yeah,
rewind,
yeah, and then we would write down the in and the out, the numbers on the beta machine,
right, yeah,
and then we'd have a stack of papers and give them to the video guys, and then those poor guys would sit there and be like, and they go through and like,
oh my goodness,
make the tapes. So I was doing the
incredible,
all the cut-ups for Ron, and then John Gruden was doing them for Coach Holmgren. So I always like felt so bad for the video guys because they had these like huge stacks of paper and they would literally just be sitting there making these tapes. And now we have the technology is just crazy. So we could say, okay, corners, like, okay, let's watch them in run support. Here's every missed tackle. Like, okay, and then, you know, we could say, okay, well, how's he missing tackles? Is it angles? Is it intent? What is it? So it's phenomenal.
I remember Tom Firmstead talking to him one time, and he was saying that they used to actually
were
have
you guys
to go
smoking
and
cigarettes together.
Get it. We did not have a heater. No. But, yeah, they would have to take the film in, get it developed in Cheney, and then come back, and then they'd have to switch film and everything. So, anyway, it's good that you're in this era, right? You got to appreciate that technology.
No, it's crazy. So we're doing offensive linemen. We're working on offensive linemen right now this evening. After we get done with this local workout, and we're going to be able to watch, okay, all the pressures, you know, all the run game, mid zone, mid zone, wide zone, like the movement stuff, like okay, and then it's really cool.
Yeah. As far as alignment go, I mean, everything's new. It's going to be a new defense. It'll be a new offense.
Yeah.
Do you start looking at different body types? Like, nah, we want smaller offensive linemen who are more agile. Or, we want some big road graders now that are going to fit this.
A good question because, we when we got here, we were looking for the zone, the Coach Gibbs stuff, you know, who was coaching for Coach Mike Shanahan. The cutoff guys, the guys that could really, the quick, you know, we ended up being a little too quick, too undersized, right? Mm-hmm. And you get a, you know, then all of a sudden you change the system and now you're too light and then now your pocket integrity, you know, is compromised, right? So it's a great question. So, no, you have to, like, we have the same type of body types that we want and we try to stick to that and guys that can execute what we want to be able to execute. But every position, they all come in different shapes and sizes, but – you know, with the zone scheme you're talking about, that's a great question.
We promised one of our texters that we'd
in terms of ranking questions, that was...
it was
appreciate that, man.
Yeah. So they're going, I don't know there. What's happening here. I don't like it.
All right, so are you guys done? Texter says, looking back, if you could give advice to yourself the night before your very first draft, what would it be?
Wow.
What was your very first draft? Was it 2000 where you're running the show?
2000? Oh, not very first draft, period.
Yeah.
Oh, where you're responsible.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I got you. That was 2010. So that was Russell Okung and
Earl.
Yeah, so it was either going to be Russell Okung or Trent Williams. And then it was Earl and Eric Berry. That was that draft.
Wow.
The advice I give myself, man. I mean, just being, I think maybe just being more patient, maybe, you know, I think we were hyper aggressive and we felt like we needed, we did. We felt like we needed a lot. Mm-hmm. And so, we made a trade with Tennessee. We traded for Vickerson and Lindell White and, we moved around several times, and we almost moved totally out of an area that would have cost us. Earl, so being patient.
Yeah.
Hey, we were just talking. We were playing a clip from Tyler Lockett. He was here speaking with the media, and every time we hear him, we're sitting here going, what a good dude, man. That guy has not changed from the day he showed up to who he is now. And I believe he's the longest tenured player on this roster now with Bobby gone. But do you ever sit back and look at whether it's Tyler or any other player and go, we nailed that? Because not only is he just a quality human being who has never had a whiff of controversy about him, he's arguably the second best receiver in the history of this organization.
Yeah, he's always been. That year was Frank's year as well, and so we really had to have a pass rusher, and we didn't have a punt returner at the time, and Tyler was. We just remember feeling like this guy is like, why do people think this guy's going to be a third-round pick? Like, what the heck?
Did you move up for him that year?
I think you did.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pearson's saying. Yeah, but, thanks. I mean, could it have worked out any better?
No, he's just been this steady influence, like this great community, you know, plays the piano. He's a poet. He's a realtor. I'm like, what don't you do? You know, like this
guy's just a quality human. Just a nice guy.
No, he's a really good person. The night he set the record for the most catches in the game, I think it was 13, was against Arizona, and it was a COVID year, and we were Arizona and the Seahawks. We were the first teams that had to turn in our COVID testing swabs or whatever and send them to Burbank. And if you didn't turn them in by 9 o'clock in the morning, you couldn't play. And so we were all down there in the morning, and Pete had said, "Hey, we're." He gave a great presentation about this is how we're going to compete in the game, and at the team meeting the night before, and you got to be down here, get down here. Everything's got to be done by 9. You can get your breakfast, go back to your room. Team meeting at noon, blah blah blah. And what you do is you come, you get off the elevator, you take a right. It's like 1, 2, 3. You go through the stations, get your breakfast, you're good. And we're like 10. It's like 8:50 something, and like Tyler's the only one that we haven't seen him. So we got George to like go up to his room and grab him. And he came down and he's like, "So what are we supposed to do?" And I'm like, "Well, you were at the team meeting last night, man. Just go to 1, go to 2, go to 3. I'm like, "Oh man, this is gonna be a bad game tonight." And then he goes out there and crushes it. Yeah. 13 catches and like 3 TDs or something. Yeah. He's just like this amazing, like, yeah. That's fun stuff. Those are the really fun ones.
I remember one of the touchdowns he caught where it hit him. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Hit him right in the forearm, and then he caught it, and we asked him about it. He goes, "That hurt."
His ability to track the ball, I mean, even in college, and it was so cool, like for me, because I was with his dad when he was a rookie in Kansas City.
That's right.
And he was always bragging about his son, and it's like, when people do that, you're like, yeah I get it.
Your son's different and unique.
Your son's really good. And then you're finally studying him and you're like, wow, this guy is. Yeah. His Senior Bowl was ridiculous.
He was, I would imagine the interview you had with him, you were probably blown away. Like, what a great kid, but just seemed mature. And he's the same guy.
Yeah.
Guys tend to change after money and fame and all that. And he seems exactly the same as the day he showed up here.
Yeah. He said to me one time, he said, "It's okay to tell somebody you love them." And I was like, "All right, I love you." He's such a good person, So now when I see him, I just said it to him the other day. I'm like, Tyler, it's okay to tell somebody you love him. I love you, man.
So funny. Yeah. By the way, was it not the biggest upset in the world, the final episode of Curb Your Enthusiasm, where they brought back former characters that Pearson was not brought back?
That is bad. We got to get on those guys for that.
What happened, man? I fully expected as they were bringing that past characters, Pearson was going to show up, and he didn't. That's disrespectful.
He's
Did you see his episode?
We'll have to. That F bomb came out pretty easy, didn't it?
It sure did.
Pretty natural.
Very natural.
Amazing.
Yeah, one take. One take. They said. John, as always, we appreciate you, man.
Okay, how many more we got left?
Three.
When's the draft? Do you know? When's the draft?
So tonight. Two more. Let's go.
Two more. That's it.
Two more. He's excited. It's almost over.
I don't know how you guys do this every day. It's amazing.
It's fun, though.
Yeah.
You guys are fun. It's good to see you again in person.
Well, it's good to be in person with you. Yeah. I know that's big for you.
It really is.
Yeah.
I'm a people guy, Dave.
I know that.
He's got to look you in the eye when you're talking to him.
That's right.
All right, guys. No, we appreciate it, John.
Yeah, have a great evening.
There you go. There's John Schneider with us each and every week leading up to the opening round of this year's draft.